Yeah, we've had a good thing going since 1983, actually, when we sent over the Reflex for him to remix, and he came, you know, sent back something so spectacular. It really inspired us to sort of to maintain a relationship with him. You know, Bernard Edwards, who was the bass player,
of course.
He produced Wild Boys and View to a Kill. But then Niall came and did Notorious with us, and then later on, he was one of the main producers of the album Astronaut, which is our reunion album back in 2003. So it was really good to get him on board. But funny enough, it was Mark Ronson's idea to get him on the bus for this one.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Mark sort of kind of thought we were going to have a bunch of guitarists, but he really wanted Mark. And Mark's known Niall since he was about 9 years old. He's never actually worked with Niall before, and he thought it'd be a great thing to do to get together with him on this album. So that is what he did.
Because he came on the show a little while ago promoting his new songs at Party Time or something. His sound is so cool.
Oh,
he's still
Niall
a man,
is,
isn't he?
Yeah.
He's
he's
still
amazing.
The boy, isn't he?
He's really he's amazing, yeah. He plays his way through life, and he plays it on his guitar and that sort of funny kind of hybrid Strat that he's got. And that's really what he did. And that's where Pressure Off came from, actually. It came from a Nile Rodgers riff, a funky Nile Rodgers riff.
One of the songs on your new album.
Exactly.
Are you pleased with Paper Gods?
I'm over the moon about it, to be honest with you. You know, we went in the studio with one goal, and that was to make the best album we could possibly make. We gave ourselves no deadlines. We had no record company to answer to. We had no shows on sale. We had nothing to do except for make an album. And we kind of knew that it would be a painful process, that we're going to have to go through a real experience to get to it. But quite how painful it was, we didn't really realise. You know, a year into the project, when Ben Hudson came on board and we wrote the song You Kill Me With Silence and then the song Paper Gods, and we realised that we just have to junk everything, pretty much, that came before or rework it to get it up to that standard. That was difficult, but we knew we had to do it. You know, sometimes you really do have to bite the bullet.
Is that the pain you're talking about?
Yeah, because it's sort of disappointment and demoralising when you have to chuck stuff away.
Mm.
But then you know you've got a good reason for it, and you have to be ruthless. You can't get sentimental about songs just because you like this middle eight here or that kind of, or the drum sound of that one. You've actually got to be prepared to throw stuff in the bin in order to only have good stuff. And we really do believe in a succinct, powerful record. You know, we wanted to make an album with no filler whatsoever.
Well, that's the... That's a big statement to put down. 2 years in the making. You were digging deep then, in your words, to find perfection.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about perfection. I mean, that might be a little unrealistic. But the best thing we could possibly do, something that turned us on, and something that would work on the modern radio. That's very crucial to us. And I think this is where Mr. Hudson comes into the picture. You know, he really, you know, like I said, after You Kill Me With Silence, we realised we'd upped the standard of the record and we'd have to get rid of a lot of stuff or bring it up to standard. And Ben gave us a lot of confidence in more ways than one. Number one, he gave me a lot of confidence when it came to lyrics. He's the guy who said, hey, that's okay to say that. It's really okay. You don't need to rewrite that. He also gave us confidence sonically. And by that I mean you listen to some of the songs and you can hear space around the notes. And you never had that before with the Duran Duran album. We always threw everything into it, even the kitchen sink. And that comes out of a kind of insecurity about silence. But we had the confidence...
To go with
to
it.
To let the notes hang. And I think, yeah, says it, really.
I was going to ask, did the collaborators bring something to the Duran Duran party? But by the sounds of things, they have.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has. I mean, and it became... And collaboration kind of became a bit of a theme to the album as well. So after, you know, after John Frusciante, Ben Hudson, that kind of opened the doors, really. Of course, Niall and Mark are collaborators, but, you know, but then to get Janelle Monáe on board, then Kaiser, then... Whoops,
is that me or you?
That's me, I think. Somebody's trying to call me.
It's probably your wife.
It's not my wife. I don't recognise that number. It's the boyfriend. Right. Stop it!
When you go into the studio, Simon, and the process begins, I think Nick said, you find the seed and then you grow the tree.
Ah. Oh,
I like that.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Well, it's not what I said.
So who's in charge of what happens when you're all in there? And does it happen when you're not together?
That's a difficult question. That's a very testy question to ask a member of Duran Duran, because we are a true democracy. We really, there is no leader of this band. And that's been one of our great strengths, actually. I think that's one of the reasons we're still around and still enjoy working with each other, because nobody feels that they're working under anybody else's thumb.
Good.
No, it is good. We're really egalitarian. We split everything equally as well. So, you know, it's when you get a song that you really love, but maybe other guys in the band aren't so keen on, it's up to you to kind of drive that song into a place where it can go on the album. I did it with the song Sunset Garage. That's a song that I really pushed to get on the album. I didn't have to push Paper Gods because it was so obvious to everybody that it was really good. But you know, sometimes you get songs. Nick did the same thing with Change of Skyline. That's very much that was his song. He made sure that came up to standard and got on the album.
So Paper Gods is the first song you're taking from the album. It's up to...
No, it's not.
Pressure Off. Oh, is it? I beg your pardon.
Pressure Off is the lead track of the album.
Oh, is it? I beg your pardon. Okay. So is the album up to individual interpretation, Simon, with what it means? Is it out there?
Yeah, it is out there. I mean, I've always believed in this kind of idea that how a song is interpreted is much more relevant, a much more important point than what was intended when it was written, and because of that, I try really hard never to explain lyrics to people. I say, look, if you want to know what the song's about, read it, read the words that I've written. That is the statement. Nothing else is a statement. You know, people want to know. I remember myself sort of finding out what some of the iconic songs in my in my life were actually written about, and it was always a disappointment. You know, when you found out what David Bowie really meant. Well, actually not David Bowie, because he actually didn't ever mean anything, did he? Yeah. But everybody else, you know, when you find out what so-and-so was meaning with this song, when you found out it was about some hat coat check attendant or something, it slightly took away the value of it to me. So I won't let anybody do that with our songs. I will always maintain a wall of silence when it comes to explaining lyrics.
With your new album, is it new from old Duran Duran? Do you get what I mean by that?
No, I don't actually.
Well, you're trying to reclaim part of what you had in the 80s into the new album?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, no, I think that was what we did with the last album. In fact, that was our brief. That was Mark Ronson's brief to Duran Duran with the album All You Need Is Now. The brief was, I want Duran Duran to reclaim the 80s.
Right.
And we did that to the best of our abilities. We really did. We went all out to do that. But you don't want to make two albums in a row like that.
No, of course not.
And also I think we've got to that place now where our fans actually accept change. They don't want the same album two times in a row. We were brought up listening to David Bowie. I mean, he never made the same album twice. He always changed, and that's what we thought was normal. That's how we think our career should be. So it's really important to us to be able to move on. It's one of the things we do try and put ourselves in a place of discomfort. You know, take ourselves out of the comfort zone, because that's when you get extraordinary
results,
proper creativity. Yeah, actually.
Well, the fans are going to be seeing you soon. You've got a tour lined up, a big tour. Is it nicer to be listened to now, Simon, instead of being screamed at?
Yeah, but it's also nicer being, you know, just people accepting that Duran Duran are going to be around, rather than they're still a flash in the pan. There's a lot of things. There are a lot of things that are nicer. Yes, I know what you're saying. I love being screamed at, by the way, and it couldn't have happened to a nicer bunch of guys.
You can never get fed up with that, I suppose.
No, it was amazing. I would not swap that experience with anything.
I was going to ask you, carry on.
And we know we are so proud that it was Duran Duran that was the object of all that passion and all that stuff. But you know, times change, and we embrace change. We always have done, and we embrace where the world has taken us. You know, we've come to a really great place now, and musically, it's really exciting being in this band.
Can you put into words what it was like being in the biggest band in the world at that time?
I did in a song called Shadows Are On Your Side. But the shadows are on your side as soon as the lights go down. In the darkest place you can find, you belong to the heart of the night.
So a few highs and lows.
Yeah, you could say that.
Are you amazed you've lasted as long as you have? I mean, you're like...
Am I amazed? We were a band without a plan, actually. We wanted world domination within 5 years. We got it within four. You know, that was from the start.
Okay.
And apart from that, we didn't have any more plans. You know, if you'd have told me when I was 22 that I'd still be around doing this when I was in my 50s, I would have laughed at you because I couldn't even think past my 23s. So it's a very pleasant surprise to still have a job at the age I'm at.
I think it was Andy Taylor who described you once as the perfect pizza made up of five different slices.
Ha! Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm margarita with chilies.
With a bit of extra spice.
Exactly.
So if you've enjoyed your time together very much and obviously looking forward to the tour, UK and America.
Yeah, yeah, we're really great friends, actually, the four of us are. We spend a lot of time together. You have to when you're in a band, and the way we do it is we do it together. And we back each other up, and we criticise each other as well, but it's what makes us strong.
Would you be together, Simon, if you hadn't made that call to John?
It was the call to John. Oh, actually, we were talking about this yesterday, and actually... When me and Nick look at it, when John left the band in 97, that was when the reunion started. Because it was him saying, I can't take this band anymore, that started the ball rolling, which ended up with the reunion happening. So after John left, we did a couple of years more with Warren. And then me and Nick said, come on, let's get the original band back together, and I called John and went and sat by his swimming pool and told him how great we were and how much he was missed.
I mean, looking at a bit of documentary footage and things and doing some research for Chatting Tea today, I really enjoyed looking at the period of time when you did the reunion and the performances. And there was such kind of love and laughter there with you. It really came across, I thought.
Yeah, yeah.
A good time.
Yeah. Oh, it was great times. It was really wonderful to be back with the guys again. I remember the first time we played any music together. It was we had the good sense to take a very nice villa in the south of France.
Well, you've learned a few things.
And I remember getting up in the morning and hanging out. I went for a little swim. And I was laying out in the sunshine, and they started playing, and I just took a moment before I jumped in there and tried to get in on the act. And I just lay back and listened to what they were doing, and it was fabulous.
Do you ever wonder what happened to Simon Le Bon, the actor?
No.
No, never thought, no? You hadn't turned up for that audition?
No, I don't, actually. I'm not a speculator. Yeah, yeah, I'm not there. I'm a right here, right now person.
Well, you've done not bad to have a group of lads from Birmingham in 78, 100 million records. The 14th,
isn't it?
It's not bad, eh? 14th album. A few more to come, I hope, in the future.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, every time you make something, when you do something that's really good, and it breathes new life into the band, and you can't, you know, and it's exciting. I think we've got, you know, there is a future.
A few of your favourite things to finish, Simon, if I may.
Okay. Yeah.
Favourite place.
Ooh, favourite place on stage in front of a slavering audience.
Favourite time of your life?
Right now. Whenever that is.
Okay. Favourite film?
That's a tough one. That's a really tough one. Apocalypse Now, I think, springs to mind.
Favourite person?
Yasmin Le Bon.
Good answer. And Simon Le Bon, your favourite song, sir?
My favourite ever song? I'm going really left field here. Just out of perversity, When I Am Laid in Earth by Henry Purcell.
I don't think I've heard that.
It's from Dido and Aeneas.
Okay.
It's a very sad song. It's When I Am Laid in Earth. You know Henry Purcell?
Heard of.
He was a classical, Baroque composer, actually. Mm-hmm. You should check it out. Check that song out.
I will.
Yes.
And next time we meet...
But my favourite current song is Tame Impala's 'Cause I'm a Man. And my favourite instrumental is Anna... What's her name? Something Annaborg. It's called The Lost Sheep. See, I can go on and on and on.
Yeah, I'm liking it. I was about to say, so I take you creativity-wise, you're still writing as much as you ever did.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, all the time.
We'll never meet end. Simon, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
I wish you well with the tour and the new album, and I'll come and see you in Glasgow.
Great. See you there, man.
Okay, thanks, Simon.
All right.
Cheers.